You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
But next up, are we going to be cloning wasps,
well,
Sam?
Well, there's a group of researchers in New Zealand who are looking at ways of, well, sort of wasp busting, eradicating our wasp population. Because as you probably know already, New Zealand has a wasp problem. The invasive insect is considered a pest and routinely eats honeydew before birds can get to it. It kills native insects and attacks and kills bees, sometimes destroying a third of a beekeeper's insects in a single year. A 2015 study carried out for the Ministry for Primary Industries and the Department of Conservation estimated wasps directly cost New Zealand $78 million a year, with the beekeeping industry the most affected. However, a team of researchers from around the country are undertaking a 10-year project to develop new wasp-busting technologies. Among the ideas being explored by the team include developing genetically modified transgenic wasps that would return to their hives and destroy their own communities. If successful, these transgenic wasps could then be used as models to devise pest culling measures that could also work on other pests such as possums. Earlier, I spoke to one of the team leaders of the research project, Victoria University's Phil Lester, and I began by asking him to explain the science behind creating transgenic insects.
The way that it's being done now more commonly is called a CRISPR system. A CRISPR system is developed from a group of bacteria that use it to fight off insects, fight off viruses. What they will do is cut the DNA, naturally cut the DNA. They'll recognize a foreign piece of DNA, they'll cut it up and insert a new piece of DNA into it. So it's a natural-based system that some scientists have developed quite recently. It can be very, very highly targeted. So it's using a protein, uses a special piece of RNA or DNA that it's able to focus on and on, hone in on, and able to chop it up and insert something new.
And what would these transgenic wasps do exactly?
Well, lots of things are under debate, right? There's certainly no situation at the moment. We haven't gone to a situation of we're definitely utilising transgenic means, the gene drives, they're called, as a potential control option. So it is just at the moment a control option. There's nothing has been defined for certain. There are a whole bunch of potential gene drives or genetic modifications that can be done, and we can look at things like mosquitoes. So mosquitoes have been developed overseas or are under development overseas for these sorts of control options against malaria, for example. And what those mosquitoes have been utilized, they do things like altering the sex ratio so that the Y chromosome effectively on the mosquitoes is destroyed. So you might be able to change the sex ratio so you've only got males being produced at some times. You can have other ways of altering the fertility of the wasps. So you might reduce the fertility down, you know, tenfold, 100-fold, or those sorts of things, so there aren't so many wasps around. And for mosquitoes, they're doing things like looking at inserting genes that might give it resistance to the malarial parasite. So there's a whole bunch of different ways or different approaches that could be utilized for wasps that are one of a suite of many different control options that are being considered for wasps.
Are there risks associated with this?
Yeah, there are risks associated with it. I think perhaps the greatest risk that we're aware of really is that, well, a genetically modified wasp, if it was created here, and that's a big if it was utilised, if gene drives were utilised here, well, what's the chance of a wasp getting back to its home range? So us shipping a wasp overseas and causing a reduction in wasp populations in Europe as well. So there certainly are potential issues that have to be worked through and concerns that everybody has about genetically modified organisms.
What stage are you at with this project?
Well, the gene drive project is one that's being considered, right? So there are a whole bunch of steps that are to be utilised. Now, we're not doing any genetic modification here at Victoria University, but what we are doing is doing things like understanding the wasp genome at the moment. So we have sequenced the wasp genome, we're defining it, and that can be potentially utilised for targets for a gene drive.
What are some of the ethics behind this idea? Because when people think of sort of genetic modification, it can get quite controversial.
Yeah, it certainly can. So New Zealand has got quite a long history of being sort of opposed a lot towards genetic modification, but it is becoming much more utilised and much more acceptable. I think a lot of diabetics, for example, out there inject themselves daily with insulin or more often, and that's from a genetically modified organism. The insulin nowadays is from a genetically modified bacteria. So the G animals and organisms are becoming more common out there. I think there are a lot of people have concerns over them at the moment, but what I'd hope almost is we're at a point where we can have a discussion or a debate. Let's stand back a bit, have a step back and look at the evidence for and against genetic modifications and its effect on the environment and human well-being and all those sorts of things.
How big is New Zealand's wasp problem?
It's substantial. Last year or the year before, there was a economic assessment done, an independent economic assessment, and wasps are estimated to cost $133 million a year to the economy. But that's probably not my biggest concern. My biggest concern more is their effects on our native flora and fauna, especially in the South Island honeydew beach forests down there. There they have huge populations. You go down there this time of year, or sort of early autumn, late summer, and you walk in the beech forest down there and you just hear the drone of wasps, huge numbers of wasps down there. So large populations of wasps, they're eating an awful lot of our invertebrates down there. They're dominating resources, competitively excluding birds, all those sorts of things. Huge problem in some areas.
What other measures are you working on which could potentially combat this problem?
Yeah, so there's a whole range of different measures. The goal of the National Science Challenge that we're working on here is to create socially acceptable, so that's one of the first key criteria, socially acceptable next generation technologies that are moving away from having to use broad spectrum pesticides. So there's a whole bunch of technologies that are under consideration. Those range from sort of the more standard biological control options that have been utilised for hundreds of years, but further advancing those, utilising pheromones, utilising natural mutations that are out there in wasp populations that are associated with wasp fitness, the number of new queens that are produced, lots and lots of different technologies like that.
Just finally, if successful, what are the chances of eradicating New Zealand's wasp population?
So there certainly is opportunities, right, so for eradication with things like a gene drive, they're calling it, this genetically modified organism. Whether or not the New Zealand public find that as a socially acceptable sort of option is yet to be determined, right? So we've got to work through those sorts of issues. And the international community has issues with gene drives too. It's an emerging technology that we've got to figure out. But those are the sorts of technologies that certainly could result in the complete eradication of wasps from New Zealand, at least theoretical. The other technologies and approaches would result in a dramatic lowering of abundance. So we'd aim for at least 10% populations now compared to what they are. So a 90% reduction in populations of wasps. That's at least the goal. I could certainly happily live with wasps in New Zealand if they were in a much lower population densities than what they are currently.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.